Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 6, Episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist for November 13th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Obi-Wan Play No D, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Shout-outs to Chris Flick, who's listening with his infant baby, so I hope this is making him smarter.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian, Neil Nanda.
That is correct. Neil Nanda, the correct traditional way to pronounce my name.
Duh.
Neil Nanda. Nailed it, yeah. Duh. That's how they do it in India.
Right.
But yeah, you go to New Delhi, Neil Nanda.
Neil, it's great to have you here. Can you tell our listeners something you've searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Ooh, okay. A weird one I searched was Stephen Hawking's sexual assault allegations. I thought it was true. I read an article, and it was apparently...
Wait, where did you read an article?
It was one of those, like, satire websites, but I...
Oh, okay.
But the story was, like, it's one of those things where... I didn't want to make fun of Stephen Hawking, you know, because it was like the story was like, and then his rubber from his wheel rubbed up again. I was like, is that true? Or is it jokes?
It was the chair that was committing the assault.
Yeah.
Because he has very limited mobility.
Right. He has very limited mobility, and he had apparently type everything to this girl. So it was, and there was the article was like, oh, he's so respected in the community. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're a student of his or something, and I mean, he's Stephen Hawking.
And I mean, Stephen Hawking is kind of a freak. Like, he is very known for going to strip clubs, and there's a picture of him at a sex, like, club or sex retreat or something with, like, two women in bathing suits on.
Wait, Stephen Hawking goes to the strip club?
Yes.
How does that work? How do lap dances work when you don't have feeling in your legs?
Does he just shoot up that dollar shooting gun to like his chair and just automates like throwing the singles out like grrr, grrr.
I'm not sure exactly. I haven't been to the strip club with Stephen Hawking.
What?
But yeah, that is allegedly he has a healthy sexual appetite.
Good for him.
Yeah.
But not a predator, though. But that is so. Yeah. That was a fake. So you read into a satire article and then just kind of like,
I believed it.
Had the fear, though. That, like, maybe there is a shred of truth to this.
That's what's so scary about our world right now is I don't know what's true anymore.
Yeah,
this is the best time to be a conspiracy theorist.
Oh yeah,
because I have no idea. I'll believe you. Like 10 years ago, if you were like Obama's a Muslim, and you know, I'd be like, this guy's crazy. But now, if you're like Donald Trump, Scrooge McDuck, I'd be like, oh, is that?
Like, hold on, let me go on Snopes.
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna get that guy a beer. I don't know.
He does have like the bottom half of like a DuckTales character.
Yeah,
right.
Like very bottom heavy.
I could see him diving into gold coins
for sure.
I remember the first time because of the DuckTales intro of like the idea of swimming through coins. Like my grandparents used to have a gigantic bucket of pennies and change. And I was like, yo, here's my chance. And I remember just putting my arm in and just stubbing all my fingers immediately.
Yeah.
And that like ruined the idea of swimming through coins very quickly for me.
Yeah.
But you did it with pennies. You can't do it with pennies. That's not.
Oh, what am I supposed to do? Straight up gold coins?
Straight gold doubloons, man.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
Damn. See,
Hey, Neil, what's something you believe to be overrated?
Overrated. Okay, the new Taylor Swift album. It's number one worldwide right now. And it is some straight garbage.
That is true.
That
is true. We were talking about it on Friday. And just based off the little clips I listened to, little stealing from artists here and there.
A lot of that. My problem with it, one, it should be illegal for Taylor Swift to rap. That shouldn't be legal. Like that, she should be arrested. She should be in jail. That bothered me. She's rapping on not just that one track, but a few other tracks. There's like a little bit of, rhyming. I don't even want to call it rapping.
Talk rhyming.
And then I don't know if you guys remember this. The album's called Reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And, do you guys remember what Taylor Swift did that ruined her reputation?
Aside from just being like generally whack? No.
Well, there's the Kanye West thing, right?
Yes, there's a Kanye West thing. So the whole album is about the Kanye West thing, like, and you don't even remember that. It doesn't matter. I wanted to hear an album about boys. I just wanted to hear.
Yeah, and breakups.
Breakups and hookups and, you know, new boys and love life. And so I was hoping for that, but the whole album is about, like, guys, stop being mad at me. No one's mad at you. No one's upset. No, you barely remember the Kanye West
thing. I'm like not even checking for that. That's not even on my radar.
It's not on anyone's radar. And she's playing up to this like, the whole thing. It's so narcissistic of like everyone remembers that and that's all that she is now. And this album is about her trying to bring back her reputation or now she, oh, sorry, the old Taylor's dead, according to her. And she has a new reputation. She's a bad girl, which is so weird to me. I'm visually, I gag every time she like thrusts now and it's just weird.
Super contrived girl. It's like the, I've been saying it's like the least convincing like attempt to be bad in pop music since Michael Jackson was released bad.
Literally
he was
bad.
Like, now I'm a tough guy. Yeah. I was like, no, you're not.
I got chains on my leather jacket. Who's bad?
Who's bad?
No, dude, you just did three spins. You're not bad.
Yeah, just because you hung out with a dude in roller skates and a can of spray paint in the subway.
Yeah.
Make you bad.
Taylor. And there's all sorts of reasons that it's like
too
her
contrived.
Kanye beef is sort of,
and they don't care. Kanye does not give a shit.
Right.
Neither who knows? Yeah. Who know? Maybe he's where he's in the lab right now and he's ready a rebuttal.
He's gonna drop
super
like
clap
devastating. Yeah. Like
that's gonna be the new. It's like Biggie and Tupac, Taylor and Kanye beef.
Right.
That kind of is where the world is headed.
It kind of is.
So. Yeah. Let's brace ourselves for that.
What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated?
I really like your first one.
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and take a step back and say that I think Ryan Reynolds is finally appropriately rated. Because I've been a fan of Ryan's for so long. And when I saw Just Friends, when I was a kid, I was like, where's his 8-movie deal?
Right.
This is the funniest, most charismatic. It's just amazing. And I remember being like, this guy is a star. And no one realized it.
This guy is a star. You're saying that like as a kid.
Yeah.
This kid's got something.
Got
an 8-picture deal.
Yeah. I thought he was, I was expecting so many more comedy films from Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And, I don't think he got appropriately rated until Deadpool.
Right.
When Deadpool came out, everyone was like, oh, this guy's a star. I'm like, I've been saying that for years.
Who writes his Twitter? Does he write his own Twitter?
I think so. It's pretty solid.
Pretty funny.
Pretty funny stuff.
Funny
He's
dude.
Canadian too, isn't he?
What's up with all these Canadians?
Enough, man.
I just remember that video.
Canadian agenda.
Have you seen that video he
podcast?
Did? Yeah, he's from Vancouver also. Wow, shout outs to British Columbia. That video he did with GQ where he was like interviewing himself. It was like a video that came out, I think, earlier this year. Oh, it's hilarious.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing because it's him like and being his evil twin interviewing himself and just like flaming himself.
I haven't even seen that. And I'm sure it's amazing.
We'll play it later. It's pretty good, especially if you're a Reynolds fan.
He doesn't disappoint, honestly. Ryan is it's just always quality content. And then I personally think that because he's so attractive, we're just like, some hot dude. No, he's very talented and very funny.
Do you think it's because he's so handsome, people aren't taking him seriously as like a comedian or be like, that's a comedian.
Probably.
And now they're like, no, you're the handsome guy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
I think so. I think because I thought Just Friends was phenomenal. I thought he was so funny.
Right.
And people were just like, it's a hot dude playing a hot dude. It's like, no, that guy's actually really funny.
This guy's got comedic chops.
Yeah, and he proved those chops in Deadpool. Comedically and, you know, as an action star. So I don't know. I think he's correctly rated now.
Yeah.
But I think for a long time he was underrated.
I feel very weird about, like, I have some weird feelings about Ryan Reynolds because I'm like, I don't think his wife is good enough for him, which makes me feel
Blake
like
Lively.
Blake Lively. I'm like, yeah, she's not like.
I agree.
Cause she like did like, she had like a fashion line or something that was all about, what's it called? Like plantation style, like Southern style shit. And she like wanted to get married on a plantation and shit. I was just like, yo, like she doesn't seem, I don't know.
Like Reynolds appropriate?
Right.
Who do you think is Reynolds? Who is worthy of Ryan?
Alanis Morissette.
What?
Wasn't that their first? Wasn't he married to her at first?
What?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Ex-fiance. Okay.
Wow.
Ex-fiance. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's like the sort of dude who's like, he seems smart enough to like not be married to.
Wow, they're cute. They're cute together.
They are.
Or like,
couple.
Even Scarlett Johansson's like pretty, like, I don't know. She seems to like have a sense of reality and not be, I don't know.
I'm a ScarJo fan too.
Right.
I think you should be with Ryan. Jack.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say it, but
I know.
People have said that.
You think you deserve?
I play basketball. You toss the lob up. Now let me alley-oop it. Right. You should be with Ryan Reynolds.
Those were great, and I appreciate you bringing up the Ryan Reynolds thing for me. I only had to pay you $25.
How we talked about it.
All right, so let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you're looking or not. And we talk about the president. We talk about politics, the news. We also talk about movies, supermarket tabloids, whatever you are thinking and talking about. So first show after the weekend, things that people I know were talking about. People were talking about the UCLA basketball players still being in sort of hotel jail in China. According to CNN, they're still in a hotel in Hangzhou, which is the city where they were allegedly caught shoplifting. And Trump, the president of the United States, had to personally ask Chinese president Xi Jinping to clear up like the issue and like to treat them fairly. All Jinping was like willing to do was be like, they'll get a fair treatment, which could be like some foreboding ass shit.
Yeah, right.
Could be like, oh, they'll get theirs.
Oh yeah, right. we'll treat them real fairly.
But this is just the baller brand, the ball family, big baller brand.
Terrible. Yeah. I mean, like, LeVar Ball is just the grossest stage dad, dadager, like guy living vicariously through his kids that I've ever seen. And you know what sucks, man? Like, I almost want this. I want LiAngelo Ball to go to jail because I don't like LeVar Ball. Has nothing to do with LiAngelo, but like, I just have such a bad taste. It's not that I want him to go to jail, but like, part of me is like, whatever, because of LeVar Ball. And I, you know,
just by association.
Yeah.
Just like,
and
go to jail.
It's terrible. That's how deep my distaste for LeVar Ball goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I want them to get out. It sucks.
I have some questions. First of all, couldn't he afford those sunglasses?
Yes.
His sneakers are $3 billion.
Or his brothers. His brothers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they have money. He can afford those glasses. Second of all, what's the justice system in China like? Because what's a fair trial in China?
Well, if convicted, I think they face up to between two and 10 years in prison.
Three to 10 years?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, does money work in China? Does that buy? Is it like America where
The government sort of has all the money.
Yeah. Well, like, we'll see. I think
they have our money. So,
I mean, who knows? If somehow Trump is directly asking the president about these three people, like, maybe LeVar Ball is the most powerful person on earth that we really don't know about.
Right? Yeah.
Where he's like, hey, Trump, like, I don't know.
Maybe Trump has a pair of the sneakers. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, he's heavily invested in baller brand.
I just feel like Trump is always keeping an eye on the headlines, and he's like, he knows whatever is, like, trending on Twitter.
I don't know. I think he can take credit for it. Because if it happens, then Trump will be like, I told you.
Right, exactly. Right.
I told Jinping to let him go.
It must have just been a, like, they did it for the thrill. They stole shit for the thrill. And, I mean, especially LiAngelo.
I just don't fuck with
him. Do you feel bad because he's, like, the forgotten ball brother?
And, yeah, he's like, a middle child. I'm a middle child. I feel him.
I don't fuck with doing crimes in foreign countries.
Yeah.
Just stupid.
It's a bad look. It's not even the look.
It's just like, who knows what their laws are? Who knows, like, if you're going to get 80 bamboo lashings? Right. I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like that dude, like, when I was a kid, like, in Singapore. Wasn't it Singapore? The guy got caned?
Did he go around, like, keying people's cars or, like, spray painting people's cars? Really. It was, like, some shit that you would really...
Yeah, like, they're like, yo, you can't do that. Yeah. Right. And then you're like, oh, wait, you get caned for this shit?
Yeah. You get 80 canes or whatever. It's insane.
But I guess you can't walk.
In true typical middle child fashion, this is like such a cry for help. Like, negative attention is still attention. Dad, look at me. Right. I know you rank me as the least, like, baller of all the ballers. But, like,
where are my shoes?
I'm going to steal something. Then my dad will care.
Right.
So,
hey, speaking of weird things men do just for the thrill and, hey, look at me. A question I heard a lot of people asking over the weekend was, hey, why do men jerk off in front of women? Why is that a thing that everybody is doing now, apparently? I think because of the Weinstein allegations came out, that was like one of the many things that he was accused of doing. But then the Louis thing came out at the end of last week. Louis C.K. Accused of masturbating in front of many different women without their consent. And that was just a question that I think was on everyone's mind. Like, it is an act that most people do shamefully in like the dark room when no one else can see them.
It's embarrassing. It's the most embarrassing thing to ever be caught masturbating. Right. I guess you have to really be wired differently because like I said, I would rather be filmed like committing a murder and have that tape get out than someone seeing me masturbate.
Really?
Right. Not that I'm a murderer, but
during the masturbate, you're in it. You're not like, it's like Pringles. Once you pop, you just don't stop.
Right.
It just happens. But like I get the post shame, the post masturbating shame or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, I guess because there's so many powerful men doing it, I guess it's a power thing.
Well, clearly it is a power thing.
Right.
Like it's the,
so this is a type of article. There's also like a new genre of article, like with people psychoanalyzing the people who do this. And I actually, there was a pretty satisfying explanation on Slate, I think it was, where they interviewed a psychologist, and she said that, quote, exhibitionists purposely look to shock their victims because they are angry. They're not looking to make friends or go on a date, needless to say.
No these one's like jacking off in front of you to make friends. Hey, right. This is how we hang out.
They say these are acts of revenge against women, which makes sense. Like if you're like, you're mad at them, I guess. And so it's like the anger is like mixed up with
Or you have like a career of just being generally being very angry at women or blaming women for whatever your own shortcomings are.
Right. And then, they say
shortcomings, no.
These men are imposing the body part that is most threatening to a female. And in doing so, they're acting out what is called sexualized hostility or eroticized rage. That look of fear or humiliation on women is arousing to them. We see clinically that these men feel wildly inadequate, which all
makes sense.
Approximate sense.
I guess it's just harder, like, for the civilized men out there who just couldn't sort of fathom, like, obviously, clearly, like, it's about power and terrorizing the victim. But, yeah, like, most people are not wired like that.
Right. And the other sort of creepy sexual thing people are talking about over the weekend, and apparently we're recording this late morning West Coast time on Monday, and Roy Moore, apparently they're about to, Gloria Allred is about to bring out yet another young woman who is going to allege that he sexually assaulted her when she was a child, and he was in his 30s. Jesus.
You can't fuck kids.
Yeah. That
you can't.
Seems like a thing that you shouldn't have to say out loud. Yeah.
Right.
I'm saying it for everyone out there, for all the listeners.
Announcement. Here we go. Neil, go.
You can't fuck kids.
Boom.
There we go.
Internalize that, y'all.
So there's been a bunch of different reactions. I've seen a lot of, like, I guess the Breitbarts of the world, the people who are pro Judge Roy Moore and want these sort of outsider populist Republicans to take over Congress are really sort of digging in and arguing that this is all a smear campaign and like, wow, look at the timing. Isn't that coincidental?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm sure somebody was looking for opposition research. Like, I'm sure it's not a complete coincidence that his name is in the headlines and this story comes out. That being said, that doesn't change the fact that this is true. You want to do due diligence when you're interviewing someone for a job. You want to look in their background. And if the person's like, well, you wouldn't be looking in my background if I wasn't interviewing for this job. So the fact that you found that I used to like hang out around high schools and try and date high school girls when I was in my 30s, like, that's not fair because you wouldn't have found it otherwise. Like, that doesn't make sense.
No.
That's
did
how
you, did
this
you guys
works.
Hear the God defense?
Oh, yeah.
That God defense was fantastic.
About Jesus or Mary and Joseph.
Mary and Joseph, yeah. God impregnated a teenager. She was 13, so it's cool.
Right.
It's cool.
Which the Bible never says that she was 13 either. Like,
says she was between 10 and 15, or like they guess that she's between like 10 and 15.
Yeah, but like, the Bible doesn't say that. So
yeah,
like,
there's no age.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just like a thing they went looking for. They're like, I bet she was young.
Is that going to come out? Are allegations against God going to come out? come out at some point.
Pretty soon. Yeah.
We have an article.
I mean, depending on how you look at it, God could be responsible for fucking everything.
Yeah. So, you're right.
I hope you lawyer up, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That's going on. He seems like he's refusing to back out.
Why is it that, like, so there are multiple allegations against Roy Moore at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's like the two or however many.
I think this could be the fifth one.
The fifth one. The fifth child? Is this the fifth kid? Or
they were all teenagers. I think the one that we have detailed allegations with was a 14-year-old when he was 32, and there's, like, some pretty... you know, troubling details
sure.
of like essentially a sexual encounter between sure. them.
So five or so, but one kid accuses Kevin Spacey and he's dropped from Netflix and the movie. And I mean, which I'm not trying to equate like what he did was better or worse. But what I'm saying is like, why are we still talking about Roy Moore when we have multiple allegations?
It's because the power structure is a threat. Because again, this is to do with the Senate where like every seat matters.
Right.
And you already have this infighting between like establishment Republicans, like on the Mitch McConnell side, and then the Steve Bannon Breitbart wing of Republicans that are sure. trying to like bring in this new breed of politician, which is just awful. So yeah. And essentially like, if they were to have him step aside or anything, same thing with Donald Trump. If the GOP demanded Donald Trump step down after mm-hmm. that Access Hollywood tape came down, more than likely you're going to lose that election. So it's only to win an election. That is the only right. reason why people are willing to stand by it. Just purely about winning this election. And that's what makes it.
It's really like a test of how strong this whole sort of right-wing media apparatus is. Because, I mean, yes, like, they have sort of created their own reality where, you know, news in the Washington Post and the New York Times is like fake news, which, by the way, we had Jamie Loftus, three-time guest Jamie Loftus on Friday's show, and she was pointing out, she's a journalist in addition to being a stand-up, and she was pointing out, like, to get a story published in a place like the Washington Post, you have to have like so much sourcing, so much fact checking. Like if one thing goes wrong, they will not publish it because they're
right.
fucking scared to death. Their legal
right.
team is scared to death of publishing.
I don't, what's real news?
Stuff.
What are we supposed to, what?
Well, yeah. You know,
and that's the problem with this fake news cry. It's like, well, what are we supposed to read?
So, apparently Hannity is what is like sort of the line, right? Because didn't Hannity have Roy Moore on and
yeah,
sort
and then
of...
and then he has been pretty vocal about defending him also, and
right.
that led to him, I think, like some like five sponsors basically dropped him.
Right. The Keurig thing, you saw.
Yeah,
the
and that's
yeah.
and so that Keurig thing is, you know, him saying basically trying to, you know, tell his viewers that Keurig somehow is against real news and like that they're evil because, you know, Roy Moore didn't do anything, despite them just saying like, we don't want to have our advertisements or sponsor a show that's even remotely in the area of someone defending a pedophile,
right.
alleged or not. It's
right.
just like insane as a concept. So yeah, a lot of angry people were like, I'm going to smash my fucking Keurig machine because fuck Keurig.
The favorite
yeah.
part is that they bought the Keurig machine. And then they smashed it.
And they got
like, you already paid Keurig.
Yeah.
They already made your money.
What are you gonna do? You fucking pour over again?
Right. That's the same thing with like the Colin Kaepernick when they bought all the jerseys to burn them. I'm like, he just made $10 million.
And also, like, if you want to actually, you know, hurt Keurig, don't destroy the machine because that will just create a need for someone else to buy it. Just if you sold it, that's you taking money out of Keurig's
right. That's true.
If you're
yeah.
like talking about the pure economics
reselling,
of it.
Yeah.
But again, people are just about like,
people are dumb.
You know, their caveman brain of like, fuck this thing, I break it.
Right.
So yeah, okay, good move. But also, if, like I said on Twitter, if you're trying to get rid of your Keurig machine, hit me up. I will come pick that shit up.
Yeah, me too. I need a Keurig.
Yeah,
actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Half price. All right. And that's not even to mention George H.W. Bush, as our super producer, Anna Hosnier, called him George Harvey Weinstein Bush, because he's also a sexual predator. Apparently, the ass grabbing was not a one-off. His David Copperfield joke, that's what he was saying to women. When he would take pictures with them, he'd say, you know, my favorite magician is David Copperfield, and grab their ass. Anyways, yet another woman has come forward, and this one says she was 16 when George H.W. Bush grabbed her ass. He was 79. And that's the sixth woman to accuse him of doing that. So apparently that's a thing. But yeah, so that's all going on right now. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after that. And we're back. So I wanted to talk about taxes. We had talked a little bit about the history of trickle-down economics and, you know, why that has not really worked the way that people who advocate for it have expected it to work. The idea is that they will give money back to the wealthy and back to big corporations. That money will then eventually make its way down to the workers. What we've seen instead is that wages are always treated as something that can be squeezed to save the company money, and instead that money is hoarded and we get worse and worse inequality. Inequality is way up and kind of becoming America's biggest problem.
Inequality is up?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Can
you believe it?
I think we're near 1920s levels of wealth inequality.
But that was a great time. It was a great depression.
The Roaring
Twenties.
Yeah. Right before.
That was
interesting.
I just stopped paying attention in the 20s. Why? What happened after the 20s?
Right.
The 20s were roaring and everything
worked
out.
And then World War II, right?
Right.
Make America Great Depression again, maybe?
Right. Ooh. Hey. There is a tax plan that is currently making its way through the House and the Senate. They're both kind of formulating their versions of this tax plan.
Talking about that cut.
Mm-hmm. That
giveaway.
Right. And the idea is they will give money back to corporations and back to wealthy people, and eventually it will make its way to the middle class.
Yeah, they're also saying there's some good stuff in there for the middle class.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've also, for some reason, just been candid about the fact that they've been like, we need to get this passed because our donors are going to be like really mad at us if they don't.
Chris Collins, who's a New York Republican, was basically like told like a reporter that like a donor was just said, pass the tax plan or don't ever call me again.
Right.
And then Lindsey Graham said, basically also admitted that this will help the donor dollars keep them flowing. So they're being very clear that like, this is something their donors want. This isn't something that's for the good of the people, which is...
Don't ever call me again? It sounds like a booty call. It's like, exactly. Don't ever call me again.
Because like, I don't have cash for you anymore. Pass that plan.
So while this plan is being designed, we're learning a lot about what wealthy companies and wealthy people do with their money because of a massive document leak dump called the Paradise Papers, which is sort of telling the story of how major corporations and wealthy people are holding their money offshore. Basically, you know, there are these islands and small island nations where corporations can go and basically set up their company there and use tax loopholes and these tax lawyers to essentially like hold all their money there and keep it away from being taxed by the U.S. government. I think they're estimating that we're missing out on $70 billion a year in taxation on corporate profits.
But we don't need that money.
Right. So we had talked about this last week, but somebody for the New York Times actually went through and just talked about what different programs cost. And for instance, for $140 million, you could replace the lead water pipes that are currently poisoning people in Flint, Michigan. It would cost...
Oh, right. That's still happening.
Yeah, that's still happening. It would cost $22.5 billion to end homelessness by providing just families with rental assistance.
And you said that's $22 billion?
$22 billion,
and we're missing out on $70 billion.
$70 billion.
Okay, that's right. But that's not $70 billion. So what can we get for $70?
Yeah, what can we get for $70? Come on.
For $75 billion, you could. And so Obama asked Congress for $75 billion just for the initial investment in a universal preschool plan, which would allow all 3 to 4 year olds to go to preschool. And it would cost $98.4 billion over 10 years. So there would be plenty of money for that, and it would help shrink the education inequality.
So $9.8 billion a year.
Right.
Plus $22 billion to end homelessness.
Right.
And we're missing out on something like $70
billion. $70 billion a year.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's one thing we're learning from these Paradise Papers. And it's just, we're learning this as they are putting together this tax plan that gives the people who are, like, hiding their money already, like, all these loopholes and tax breaks and, like, basically giving money back to these people who we're now finding out are, when you give them money, they hide it from the government right. So that nobody can get their hands on it.
And it's crazy, too, because also it's becoming more and more clear that our government is clearly beholden to wealthy donors who are just want to exert their will vis-a-vis these politicians that they help pay for their campaigns. And, like, even if when you look, I think one of the versions of the Republican tax plan reportedly contains a, like, tax break for golf course owners to obtain millions of dollars in relief. So I don't know who that would help.
I don't know. I've always felt bad for
golf
course
like,
owners.
It's becoming so grossly transparent. It's like, wow, even to the point where, like, 400 millionaires, like, sent a letter to Congress saying, yo, do not cut our taxes. Like, we do not need a tax cut in any way. Because it's even apparent to this group of millionaires, this is not really how we need to be fixing the
problems. Well, with that attitude, they're never going to become billionaires.
Yeah.
Because that is not billionaire thinking. That is millionaire
thinking.
That's
true. There's no letter from billionaires.
Right.
So, until they start talking, I guess.
They don't have whatever sort of just gaping, sucking wound in their soul that millionaires who are like, I have billions and billions of dollars and I'm going to hide it from you.
Just a bunch of fucking losers, man.
So one of the main sort of movers and shakers of policy in the United States are the Koch brothers and also the Mercer family. The Kochs have been Republican donors for many years. The Mercers were architects behind a lot of the campaigns that got Trump elected. They were sort of instrumental with Cambridge Analytica, right? They were connected
also,
to that.
Yeah, and keeping Breitbart.
That's actually
I like
your
that.
Great Freudian slip.
Breitbart, they keep them funded. Or actually now I think Robert Mercer said he's going to distance himself a little bit from that because he didn't realize all his money was going towards racist trash. So,
that's what he said?
Yeah.
But anyways, so there's this thing that those two have been after for a long time called Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, which is sort of a worst case scenario if you're, I don't know, the very small demographic of the United States that is not one of the Koch brothers or part of the Mercer family. If you're not one of them, this would be very bad for you. It seems like it
basically under Article 5, if you get 34 state legislatures to quote issue a call for a constitutional convention, the Congress has to convene one, and basically from there the delegates can propose and vote on changes to amend the fucking Constitution.
Right.
So normally if you try and do this through Congress, you need a two-thirds supermajority in the House and in the Senate to agree to it, and that's so unlikely. So what's the next best thing is to go through state legislatures one by one and have them basically support a constitutional convention. And right now there are many of the state legislatures are controlled by Republicans. So there's something like, I think, 28 state legislatures that have called for constitutions, meaning that we're about, depending on how you calculate it, maybe six states away from being able to call for a constitutional convention, which would be wild since there hasn't been one since the late 18th century.
1800s or 18th century?
18th century, 1700s.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a long time
back
ago.
Back when we had muskets.
Yeah, back when we had muskets. And now we have mad disinformation and bots. So the main reason why these billionaires are pushing for a constitutional convention is for this balanced budget amendment. They want to basically just says it's like an austerity amendment, which says, yo, the government cannot spend more than it is actually generating in revenue, which is pretty impossible right now because we constantly have to use money we don't have to keep programs funded. And it would be a complete disaster because it would threaten huge programs like Social Security or Medicare, or just basically like completely hamstring the federal government's ability to like respond to disasters or economic downturns. It just basically fiercely limits the power of the federal government, which is exactly what these libertarians like the Koch brothers want, because A, the Koch industries are like some of the biggest polluters, and they're constantly fined and sanctioned over all of their, you know, their violations. So, of course, they would want to enact something or fundamentally change the Constitution so the government can no longer tell them what to do. There are many, many issues that
kind of—
This
is not a thing we're telling you because we think it's going to happen tomorrow. It's a thing we're talking about because it gives you some insight into, like, what the ultimate goal of these incredibly powerful influences is. They ultimately want to completely, like, have control of the government and be able to completely deregulate everything. Just to answer the question I raised a minute ago. So these are some of the Koch brothers' biggest companies. They have, it's a bunch of companies you've probably never heard of that are, like, massive behind the scenes. So they have Flint Hills Resources, which is a fuel producing company. So obviously, you know, if you're in the petroleum fossil fuel industry, government programs are going to be your enemy. They own Georgia Pacific, which is a paper company. So they supply, like, quilted Northern Tissue, Brawny, Dixie Cups. Guardian Industries is a glass company. They make all the glass in your automobiles and buildings and fiberglass insulation. So they do, like, a bunch of stuff behind the scenes. They're the guy behind the guy, and
right,
they're among the wealthiest people in the world, and they want nothing more than to become more wealthy, which is
by crazy. Any cost.
We've talked about them on a past episode. I think that was this podcast and not the Cracked podcast, but their upbringing is, like, complete supervillain origin story. Like, their dad had them raised by a nanny who was from Nazi Germany and was, like, this really severe woman who was, like, no fun!
Like Broomhilda,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly, Broomhilda. And they, so one of their brothers, who is just not like them, he's not, you know, super, he's not super motivated by, you know, dominating other people.
Or super motivated at all. He plays games a lot.
Yeah. Well, no, he's like an art collector and stuff. He's like one of the biggest art collectors in the world because of how wealthy they are. But they, like, approached him at one point and were like, we know you're gay and we're going to tell the whole world unless you give us all of the shares of your company. Like, they tried to, like, strong arm him by, like, saying that he was gay, and he's just like, I'm not gay, first of all, and, like, just because it's like they're crazy people.
And they're also homophobic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have guessed.
Evil. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Believe it or not, oddly enough, they do support immigration and, like, amnesty because,
right,
but that's only because of their free market idea of that just means more workers for the
companies.
Right.
I was going to say, yeah, they need those guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
It comes nowhere from a humanitarian aspect. But yeah, so this convention is, it's definitely something that when you have the money to do, they are really trying to meddle with our country. Like, it's not just elections and things like that. Like, they are really trying to fundamentally change the Constitution. But there are many things in many roadblocks, like considering A, you know, they can't quite get every state on the same page. That would require a lot of coordination. There's also an issue of, like, what a state calls its a convention for. So, like, you know, California and Vermont, they both passed requests to initiate a constitutional convention, but that was around the topic of campaign finance, not, like, the balanced budget amendment. And so under a lot of interpretations of Article 5, they're not sure that those requests would actually count towards, like, the 34 states you need, because they're not all lockstep saying, this isn't 34 states saying, we all want to vote on the balanced budget amendment.
All right. So that's what's going on with your money in the future. And
yay.
I don't know.
Fret not. It's not very likely, but still keep your
eye on it.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible, but unlikely. But you never know in this day and age. So just, you know, please keep your eye on this kind of thing.
Right. That's what some of the most powerful people in the country are looking to do. So just keep an eye out. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. Neil just said, why don't you tell people what you...
Oh, this is the most depressing podcast I've ever
Thank
been a
part
of.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Woo! Get a good
Ring the alarm.
Yeah.
Cool. So on that note, we have a giant white nationalist march in Poland.
Woo! Yeah, let's go some world news.
Yeah.
Poland.
What's going on over there, man?
I think on November 11th was their Independence Day, and basically brought out some 60,000 people, including nationalists and fascists, for what they called the Independence March. And, you know, the slogan this year was, "We want God." And a lot of the apparently from some of the reporting there, the typical chants included, "The whole Poland sings with us, fuck off with the refugees." Other ones, "God honor homeland," "One nation across the borders," and "fuck Antifa." And then there are all kinds of banners that are like "clean blood," "Europe will be white," "pray for Islamic Holocaust." So it's very
60,000.
They got 60,000 people. The photos are disturbing.
60,000 virgins. That is unbelievable.
Well, what's crazy is it was a lot of, there were men, there were women, there were children.
Wow.
And a lot of
children?
People, organizers and participants alike, they were just saying like, this is a celebration of like, we're patriots and we're peaceful. And it's not about anything else. But
do they have tiki torches out there?
No, they have flares. That's
flares.
That's a thing they love out there.
So European
peaceful.
Tiki
we
tor-
just pray for Holocaust.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing that one of our writers back at Cracked, Shane Davis, was from Australia, and he told us that apparently Australia has a day that's like Australia Day or something, but it's also like really super ignorant, sort of xenophobic people come out, and I guess it's the equivalent of America's Independence Day.
Yeah, but Independence Day isn't usually like a reason for people to be like, "Hey, put your Klan hoods on," and like,
right.
Because it's
Let's
the one
march.
Day we can. Yeah,
right.
I think
we just get fireworks.
Yeah, everybody gets drunk and watches things explode.
And I mean, like some of the people who are speaking at this event were saying things like, "Europe and the world is in decay culturally, politically, economically. Like, we Poles have to be the alternative. There will be a national Poland or none." Like, very scary rhetoric. Out there. But again, I think it's also somewhat of a cautionary tale to other countries out there that have like these burgeoning far right movements and like, you know, coming out, because in Polish media, people do have access to like shows with like a very steady diet of like fascist, racist, xenophobic content that, you know, people were saying years ago would have been seen as just that. But people are, you know, have slowly become desensitized to this kind of talk, and it's creating stuff like this. Like, we have people like with children coming out there being like, "No, this is for our country," and you know, it's like they're walking that weird line, but it's clear that there are many people who have a very clear agenda of like what this is all for.
And I mean, we're certainly not strangers to you know, things that would have seemed crazy and racist or, you know, unacceptable 10 years ago now sort of being normalized. And
right. And a lot of these tensions began as, you know, there are more refugees entering Europe, and it's only gotten worse ever since. But again, I think it is very scary to think that you can go from people considering rhetoric like this as being dangerous. But as the repetition of it continues, you just slowly get used to it.
And, yeah, it's normalized.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I'm not even shocked.
Right.
I'm sitting here like 60,000. Oh, that's not that many.
Right. And it's scary to think, like, you know, a lot of these alt-right rallies, not many people show up, but they're persistent at trying to gain numbers. But I think that it's imperative that people call this shit out for what it is, because it can slowly make its way into the national dialogue where people kind of legitimize that kind of talk.
When they made the theme "We Want God," is it like Clubber Lang or like Apollo Creed being like, "I want you," like to like they wanted to fight God, or
no, I think it's like, "We want our Christian God."
Oh,
yeah,
got it.
They want their white God.
The one God.
They don't want Ganesh.
Let's go out on happy stories, you guys. So one cool story. There's been this huge drop in crime in the past, you know, 3 decades in America that different people have tried to explain in a lot of different ways. They've pointed to strict policing, mass incarceration, the crack epidemic kind of began to recede. But there's a bunch of studies that have come out recently that pointed to things like, you know, local community programs and stuff like really like local heroes doing amazing work in these communities where crime dropped the most. So it was cool to see an explanation that was positive rather than just like we started arresting people for breaking windows or whatever.
Oh, so that regular people who want to see change in the world actually affected change
about it?
In their
yeah.
communities.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love that.
It's crazy when you talk about all this bummer shit and then we hear that. I was almost like cynical, like, nah, we got to check those numbers.
Right. Like, 95%?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Right.
Wow.
But yeah, so this is like the stuff from Tipping Point. I think they talked about, you know, broken window policing where it's like right. you try and make part of a town look more presentable and also like add a bunch of police. And by seeing police, people are less likely to commit crimes. And, you know, a lot of those studies have come under scrutiny. And I'm sure it's a combination of a lot of different things. But, you know, certainly, at least partially, these people who are actually like wanted to see a change in their community and did something about it. And then we wanted to go out on there's been a trend on Twitter it's kind of fun where people asked, can you tell us some stories or allegations about celebrities that are positive?
Right.
So our super producer, Anna Hosnier, is here to she's been following that trend and is here to tell us some of those fun stories.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so good
here.
To see you.
Oh my God.
Please bring the mood up, Anna.
Please help
so,
us.
So yeah, so at Bakun, who's one of those like weird Twitter like mainstay guys who's, you know, it's got like 100,000 followers, he tweeted out asking people to put out nice allegations. And there's some really good ones out there. I'm going to just read a few of my favorites. My husband sat next to Keanu Reeves at a film festival in San Francisco a couple years ago. When it was over, Keanu stayed and picked up other people's trash. So
holy
it's,
shit.
Wow.
Keanu's
yes.
a nice guy.
Keanu Reeves is a janitor? This is fucking crazy. Damn, I thought John Wick was pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's another one about Johnny Cash. My wife's grandfather watched the moon landing with Johnny Cash. Said he was high as a kite. Pretty neat.
Johnny Cash smokes weed. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Here's another one about Sinbad. Comedian Sinbad once saw me eating a Nestle Frozen's Crunch bar at Epcot Center, walked over to the ice cream vendor and bought one himself and then tipped it to me like you would a top hat, smiled and walked off. It was a great day.
Whoa. I mean, that's not exactly
that's
like
not
a
good
great...
story. He tipped his
yeah.
Crunch bar
yeah,
at you?
He like, also hey, likes it.
Good idea.
Some of these are a little bit of a stretch. Like,
yeah.
I think these are just people like, people. I met Sinbad once.
That's all it is.
Well, yeah. Then it says like another one. I think it was
Sinbad
like
a... was looking at me when he bought that Crunch bar.
Right.
Although, I don't know.
That's kind of like
cool.
Nice.
But also,
Sinbad's a charismatic dude. I could see him doing that.
Yeah, more like Sin Good.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. I'll leave.
Virtuous good, not even sin.
There's another one that someone tweeted.
Bad, more like virtuous good. That's pretty good.
I like that. Actually
thank you, y'all.
Nick Offerman is also said to be very nice.
Yo, he's very nice.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, didn't you used to do like a bunch of interviews with celebrities?
Yeah, when I at my old job at Condé Nast, we produced videos like for all their different magazines. But yeah, he's a very sincere guy, like in
right.
the most normal way. And it was just great. Like the kind of dude who like shakes everyone's hand on set, like looks them in the eye and is like, I'm
right.
Nick.
Right.
Whoa, yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. Fucking Nick Offerman.
I have a few more.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, he'll play Frisbee with the extras on the show.
There you
on
go.
On his movie oh. and stuff on set.
Like every movie he's ever done.
Yeah,
he's like, here comes
say,
Keaton with
bring
the Frisbee.
Out the
bee. Yeah. I got a couple, if you don't mind. I got,
yeah.
My 21 Savage story.
Wait, what?
21 Savage?
21.
We were both on the same episode of Jimmy Kimmel, and he had just done like a, like, they recorded the rap right before I did my comedy. So he went up and he performed, and then I did comedy to that same audience, which was pretty weird. So I thought he watched me do comedy, and I had a great set. So like when you have a great set, you feel like you can talk to anybody.
Right.
Right.
So I walked down the stairs, and apparently he hadn't seen me do comedy, but I just went up to him like, yo, what's up, 21? And he was like, hey. And I gave him a hand. I reached out my hand to give him a handshake, and he gave me his limp handshake. And I was like, dude, I'm from Atlanta too. And he goes, word. Oh, wow. That was our whole interaction. I was like, why was he so weird? And they're like, oh, he didn't watch you do Kai. He just thought you were some random dude.
Right. He thought you were just a fan who was like, hey, I'm from Atlanta.
That's exactly what he thought.
Right.
And I want to, one last one, the ultimate nice guy. And there was this prank going around that says another actress steps forward accusing Tom Hanks, and it's like .. of being nice.
Oh,
and it was like
yeah.
wrecking people who are like looking at it.
Thank God.
But here's a good one. Someone tweeted, I once served Tom Hanks at my old job. Once I was off, I was leaving and he was too. I asked if it would be okay for us to take a picture together. He smiled and said, walk with me. So I did. And we talked. He gave me some life advice. Then we took a few pictures together. Super nice.
Gave me some life advice.
Wow.
See, he just like knows he, like everyone yeah. thinks of him as their dad. And so he's just like, here, come on, step into my office.
Yeah. Got There's it. Always rumors of him like being on runs in New York and just like people spotting him and he just stops and like talks and chats and hangs
out. Yeah. Well,
out.
Hey, when that self-esteem tank gets a little low. Nothing like just running around New York by yeah. yourself. Like, hey, you think I'm cool, right? Great. All right. Got to go back to my penthouse right. later.
Well, it's better that than masturbating in front of
that
people.
That is right. very true, yeah.
Instead of right. masturbating in front of people, he just gives them good life advice and
walking
then like,
around
moves
New York.
On with his life.
That's
yeah.
almost like masturbating in front of people, just walking right. around New York. Do you know who I am?
Yes, we do, and we love you. Oh, my God.
Just came.
Awesome. Well, thank you for those wonderful
yeah.
stories, Anna.
Yeah, so that was everyone,
uplifting. Bringing a little
be nice.
Yeah. Be nice.
It'll take
sunshine
you far
into our
in
lives.
Life.
Even if you're not a celebrity, be nice.
Just be
yeah.
nice.
So that's going to do it for us for the day. Neil, thank you so much for joining us. This
thank
was a blast.
Thank you for having me.
It was a blast for us, I understand. It was a little dark
I learned
for you.
Some shit.
There you go. Where can people follow you and find you?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff.
How you spell your name?
Neil with two E's because I'm foreign. It's NEELNANDA.
Okay.
And if you want to come check out a show, all my dates are updated on my website. I'm all over the place. I'm in Atlanta, Birmingham, Nashville, New York, Chicago in the next couple months. So,
and if they just type your name into Google, they will be able to
you mean
here.
Bing. You mean Bing.
Bing.
Bing, oh, yes,
sorry.
Bing.
Sorry, sorry,
the
sorry,
show
sorry.
Brought to you by Bing.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Bing, yeah. If you Bing
yeah,
me.
Yeah, neilnanda.com.
Yeah, neilnanda.com. It's right there.
Boom. Miles, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Awesome. Anna, where can people find or follow you?
I am at Anna Hosnieh, AnnaHosnieh on Twitter. And you can listen to my podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, on
which
the
I was a
Audio
guest
Network.
On today. It's
yes,
out today.
It dropped today. Miles is our guest. It's a great episode. You'll hear about Miles' life.
And
super
being ethnically ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's great to hear. Hey, guys, if you like the show, we'd love to hear from you because we're hearing from a lot of Make America Great Again folks in the reviews.
People who clearly do not listen to the show
right,
or
exactly.
care to listen to the show.
Right. So people who actually listen to the show, we would love to hear from you in the reviews. And, yeah, that's going to do it. You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN on Twitter. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, and our Facebook page is The Daily Zeitgeist. We have a fan page. Go there. And you can follow us on Twitter at Just Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our footnotes, where we source all of the stuff we talked about. So if you want to learn more about the stuff we talked about or make sure we weren't making it up, you can find all that on our website. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.